Welcome to the Grace to You audio blog. After you hear what John MacArthur says, stick around and find out how to get in on the conversation.
When someone becomes a Christian, they are delivered from certain very dangerous and deadly matters. Things that pose a fatal danger to the eternal soul. True salvation, then, the work of God, is deliverance. It is the dramatic rescue of the sinner from the elements of life that threaten to destroy and damn him. Ours, then, in the work of evangelism, is a work of rescue. We, on behalf of God, have been sent out to tell sinners God has a rescue plan. God, who is by nature a deliverer, the only deliverer, has a deliverance plan by which he will deliver the sinner from all those things that damn him. In fact, there may be no better way to understand the power of God's Spirit in the believing sinner's life than to understand that the Spirit is working a work of deliverance. When we talk about conversion, when we talk about regeneration, when we talk about new birth, being born again, new life, transformation, when we talk about these matters of grace, we are really talking about being delivered from certain things. In fact, deliverance defines what it means to be a Christian. A Christian is a person who has been, listen, permanently delivered from certain deadly, damning realities. This is what defines a Christian. A Christian is not someone who says they believe in Jesus. A Christian is not someone who prays a certain formula prayer. A Christian is not a person who goes to church or belongs to some quote-unquote Christian institution. A Christian is not someone who feels good about God or good about Jesus. A Christian is a person who has been, what? Delivered. And this is absolutely critical to understand because there's so much confusion about who is a Christian. The answer is Christians are the people who have been delivered. Now, we're not talking here about justification, which is a forensic thing, which is a declaration on God's part, which is obviously an essential. It is an accounting of God by which He credits righteousness to our account and puts our sin to the account of Christ, who pays the penalty for it. That is forensic. That is a judicial act of God. We're not talking about that because that's not manifest. That's not visible. We can't know a Christian by a forensic declaration of God. The only way we can know a Christian is by a transformed life. And so for us to assess who is a believer, we have to look and see if that person has been delivered. Now, let me put this in a current context. I think you know me well enough to know that my passion is to teach the Bible, but at the same time I have a passion to teach the Bible, I have a passion for the church. And the big picture of the church is in serious trouble. I'm talking about, quote-unquote, the evangelical church. It is a grave blight that strikes the church in our day. And it is a tremendous grief to me. I'm certain that I'm grieved in my own heart because I understand enough about the Bible to know what the Lord wants the church to be, and it's not that. Always I'm asked, and let me see if I can work my way into this context, always I'm asked questions when I travel around, questions about the Bible and about issues in regard to Scripture, and I am always asked this question: what do you think is the main problem facing the church? The main issue facing the church is the lack of discernment. That is the main issue facing the church. The church doesn't distinguish between truth and falsehood. It has a defective immune system. It has a case of spiritual AIDS. It does not have the ability to fight error, because it doesn't know the truth. It doesn't have enough truth antibodies to fight off error. The church is ignorant. It is blissfully ignorant, and consequently, it is victimized easily by error. The church has gotten itself into a position where it cannot distinguish between God's word and Satan's lies. That's sad. Now, let me go a little deeper into this issue. Of all the issues of discernment, and there are many, there's a lot of confusion in the church. There's a lot of error in the church about a lot of things. And the church not only lacks discernment, but lacks the will to be discerning. But of all of the issues that are important, there is one that is at the top of the list. If we're going to be discerning about anything, there is one thing we have to be discerning about, and it's this. Who is a Christian? That's the most critical one of all. That is the most critical issue of all. At the top of my list in this matter of being discerning is we need to know who the true Christians are. Because if we don't, then we've invited the enemy into the camp. Now, I've been all over the world, as you know, and I've had lots of discussions with lots of Christian leaders, and I've read lots of things about the church and the history of the church and the theology of the church. I've been all over everywhere, and I can just tell you this. Right now, in this day, the biggest problem in the church is its inability and unwillingness to distinguish true Christians from false. It's literally killing the church. You go all over the world and you see people who claim to be Christians. I've been in the Eastern Europe and I've seen the Orthodox Church, which is by its own definition a Christian church. They believe they're the only true Christians in Eastern Europe. And then you go into Western Europe earlier this year in France and then in the last couple of weeks in Italy, and there is this massive monolithic system called Roman Catholicism, which believes itself to be the only true Christian church on the planet. It's one thing for them to believe it. It's something else for Billy Graham to say the Pope is a fine, outstanding Christian. Something else for him to hold an evangelistic meeting and invite all the Catholics to cooperate. It's something else for Bill Bright to say that the Pope is a fine, outstanding Christian. It's something else for people in the ECT, the people who are in Christian leadership in America, to embrace the Roman Catholics and say we all love the same Christ, we all serve the same God in the same way, and these are all our Christian brothers and sisters. It's one thing for these institutions to exist. It's something else for those people who are Christians to embrace them as if they're all true Christians. This obliterates the line of clarity and invites the enemy into the camp and just devastates the church. You can turn on your television and watch TBN. Everybody that comes on is embraced as a Christian, even though it's just filled with false teachers. And people who obviously haven't been delivered. It's the idea that anybody who believes in Jesus is a Christian. And if you want to push the point beyond that, you're somehow a problem and you're divisive and schismatic. Liberal Anglicanism in England back in the 60s was in its heyday, and there were some evangelicals in the Anglican church, and they thought, well, we need to move into the Anglican church and get a hold of this thing and partner up with these brothers. They're our brothers. We can't let things divide us. We're all one church. And it was David Martin Lloyd-Jones who stood up and said, this is wrong. You've got to separate. And he was vilified and he was marginalized and he was pushed out. But he was right, as time has proven, because whatever evangelicalism was there has succumbed to the power of liberalism and the pollution of the church. You can look at the American denominations, the historic denominations of the Presbyterians and the Methodists and the Episcopalians and even largely the Lutherans and others, and you can see the tremendous slide. And it goes back, they invited people into their schools and their seminaries to teach. They said they were Christians, but they were wrong, and they came in and they stole the institutions and sent them right down the drain. This is deadly stuff. And now you even have evangelical churches that are designing their churches to make unbelievers comfortable. This is frightening stuff. And I guess I feel at this point, I've got nothing to lose anyway. I have to be accountable to the Lord. It's just time to stand up and say this has got to be brought to the test of Scripture. You can have a thing called Amsterdam 2000. You can have 5,000 so-called evangelists there and celebrate all this unity. But who's finding out whether these people are Christians? They come from Catholicism and Orthodox groups and fringe groups and all kinds of strange groups and even some cults. I talked to a man even this week who said he thinks there's going to be many Mormons in heaven. This is continuing to escalate. And I guess it's time to just stand up and say that there has to be a line drawn. The issue of who is truly a Christian is at the very center of the church's life and ministry. This has to be protected. There isn't any fellowship between light and darkness, is there? 2 Corinthians 6. There isn't any concord between Christ and Satan. Two can't walk together unless they be what? Agreed. You have to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing.
Thanks for listening. Now go to gty.org/audioblog and get involved in the conversation. That's gty.org/audioblog.